Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about CinemaCon and all the different movies that kind of got revealed with the Fox and Disney lineup. We're going to be talking about a number of different items that came out from Disney Plus this week, including The Simpsons, Wizards of Waverly Place, Escape to Witch Mountain, and a few other little bits and pieces. And also, we're going to be giving our predictions for the Disney Investor Day, which is taking place this upcoming Thursday, where we're going to be finding out a lot more information about Disney Plus. So before we do that, just a bit of quick housekeeping. If you can already do so, make sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel. We just hit just over 1,000 subscribers this past week. So if you continue to subscribe, that is fantastic. And you can also subscribe on the audio platforms such as Apple, Spotify, etc. So before we do all that, let's jump into it. James has just got back from doing a little rundown at Walt Disney World. So it's that kind of thing. Have you had a rather nice weekend, I'm gathering?
Not just a nice weekend and a nice week. I've been in Orlando doing all the parks. And then, yes, I did the 10K and the half marathon at Rival Runs weekend for Star Wars. First half marathon I've ever done. Yeah, very good weekend. And I think you would assume that because I've been at the parks and I've been doing the Rival Run that maybe I hadn't watched very much this week, but you'd be wrong.
What have you watched?
Let's see. This week, just since the last time we spoke, Iron Man 2, Captain America, Thor, The Avengers, the first two episodes of Cloak and Dagger, of the new season of Cloak and Dagger. And just to throw a completely random one out there, Jaws.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, yeah, you were getting nicely set up for your trip down there. Yeah, there's quite a lot of Marvel movies. Yes, yeah, so definitely kind of getting ready for Endgame. I got my ticket, managed to secure my tickets for opening day on the Thursday. I've got a cinema ticket for 8 o'clock in the morning to go see Endgame. That was how I was like, okay, so to avoid spoilers, so I was like, get in there. Yeah, so I've had a good week. I also watched first two episodes of Cloak and Dagger, which obviously at the moment is on Freeform and Hulu. I don't know about this. I'm still sure that this series is going to end up coming to Disney Plus at some point, but I'm kind of impressed. It kind of took a bit of a while to build up, but the turn at the end and stuff, second episode was definitely much better than the first one.
Agreed. I don't think we want to talk about it at this point, except I do agree. I think out of all the series that are not immediately part of Disney, which is basically all of them except for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think this is the one that's most likely to pop up on the on Disney Plus first out of the current series that have been announced. Obviously, Disney Plus will have its own series, which are new, but migratory from other services. I think this is the one that will make it.
The good thing over here is they actually put Amazon Prime is on Amazon Prime in the UK, and it's the day after it airs in the UK in the US.
Oh, that's great.
So that's really good for me. So they kind of, I think they did these kind of short term deals because they know that Disney Plus isn't launching this year in the UK, so therefore they're doing these little short deals just to kind of make some money off them. So that's thing. Other things watched, continued on with Grey's Anatomy, Good Doctor, and Station 19 from the ABC networks. Has been carrying on also with The Passage from Fox. Also watched first episode of Hostile Planet from National Geographic. That was a very good episode. There was a little bit, like, I've seen a few clips of that, or a few bits of that series have been featured on the BBC's Planet Earth documentary from a few years ago. I had to go back and watch the scenes on YouTube just to see how close they were, and it was different, but the story was you know, these duck these little geese like jumping off from a top of a cliff, and these monkeys and stuff, it was very similar to what we've seen before, but apparently this kind of the same team have been working on it, so it might be why they were a bit similar.
Yeah, and similarly, I saw that Netflix released a series called Our Planet.
Yeah,
or is that, did it maybe get a name, James? You said
no. It is. I did. What we did actually watch the first episode of that on Netflix last night. Very good, very high production. So that again, it's very much based like the BBC shows, and obviously them jumping in on it. But also, Discovery announced that they're launching their own streaming platform. So there's a lot of movement going around in the sort of that era at the minute of like all the documentary stuff. So I'm really glad that Disney Plus is going to have that National Geographic content. The people from National Geographic were actually at an event in Cannes in France over the weekend, and they were talking about how they are going to be a major content contributor to Disney Plus, and they're kind of going into a bit more drama series, and they've got lots of opportunities. And also, this is the key thing, on the official Disney Plus website, they finally updated it after 5 months. They took the little dash, the little asterisks off of National Geographic and turned the logo white to match the other ones, because now they own it. They actually were able to take off the little thing. So that website has like been static. Every day I check it, there's like, whoa, they've actually changed it. I'm expecting a big change this week, but every day I would log on, see if they've changed it. Nothing. You know, after the 5 months, you're like, yeah, you kind of get used to seeing it. Like, oh, they have actually changed it. So, but I'm expecting a bigger update this coming week. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps up. Oh, I did watch, I watched a really bad Jack Black movie, The Clock with Wolves, on Amazon. That was pretty bad.
I vaguely remember watching a trailer for that, but yeah, and then it just kind of disappeared, and all of a sudden it was coming out on video, which is normally a bad sign, so yes, that doesn't surprise me too much. Yeah.
But nevertheless, so we've got all of that there. So it's been kind of a good week. I also did finish off Star Wars Rebels on Disney Life, so I'm completely done on Rebels. It was kind of good to kind of get closure on that one. And I'm continuing on with my Clone Wars episodes. But the problem is, it's been WrestleMania week, so I've been watching a lot of wrestling on WWE Network, which was also created by BAMTech.
I want to ask what WrestleMania week is, because I don't know wrestling at all, but I feel like this would take us off on a tangent that yes, would be way far off. So I'll do that on my own time and find out what that is. Yes. But
yes, let's just say there's been a lot of wrestling, but nevertheless,
I figured that's kind of what.
Yeah, let's jump into the news and stuff from this past week. So there's been a lot of little sneak bits. There wasn't really a major lot because of this upcoming Investor Day on Thursday. I wasn't really expecting too much. So a couple of quick notes. The Wizards of Waverly Place looks set that might be coming back, because the actor David Henry posted an image of him at the Disney Plus offices with the things like, let's do this, just before April Fool's. Because this was the key thing, is I saw the story on April 1st, and I'm like, right, I'm not running this. I hate April Fool's days. They're horrible when you're trying to do website stuff. And it was one of those things of like, now I checked in, I managed to find a website which showed previous Instagram stories from the past, and it showed that he did it like the 26th, 27th of March. So it's like, okay, this wasn't April Fool's, it's fine. But yeah, so he was at the Disney Plus offices. A lot of speculation that he's getting, you know, doing something about Wizards of Waverly Place, maybe a reunion. There's been a lot of tweeting between the people on the show, but then he could be there for other reasons. He could be doing a different show, he could be doing voiceover or something like that. Don't know. But the fact that he sent out this image from Instagram, from the offices, it's definitely got everyone quite excited. I'll be honest, I was this series kind of passed. That kind of thing of like, not, it wasn't really the right time for me to watch it. But this caught a lot of people's attention. Lots of people are excited about this one. And they definitely seem to be looking at, you know, thinking like, this is Raven. And, you know, we've had it with the other kind of things with like, was it Miley Cyrus? She was singing along to her Hannah Montana songs on the internet and getting everyone. And it's like, this is a really good way of getting that generation interested in Disney Plus.
Yeah, I have to admit, I know nothing about this show. I've heard of it before, obviously. But other than maybe guessing at what it's about from the name, I know literally nothing. But I do know enough about it to know that it is a big deal that it's coming back, that it was a popular show when it was getting produced. So yeah, great news for anybody who wants to see more of that show or wants the nostalgia of that show. I know that's kind of big right now, especially with Disney. I mean, all these shows that we've seen in recent years, Boy Meets Girl, Boy Meets World and becoming Girl Meets World, Roseanne getting her own show back and then losing it for reasons we won't go into, and all these returns. So Disney Plus seems like the place to do this kind of thing, and I mean, I'll probably check it out because it's Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of positive press, at least about the original series. And yeah, why not? It give it at least an episode. I'll give it at least, let's say 2 or 3 episodes. Yeah. I don't know what the runtime is. If it's a 22-minute show, I'll give it a couple more episodes than I would if it's like a 40-minute show. But anyway,
It's just good. It's just the fact of them jumping in. And there's that thing of, different shows appeal to different people. And they want to get out there, lots of different things, and that's great. They've also apparently they're also working on a reboot of Escape to Witch Mountain. Now, they've done so many if they do this, this would be like the 4th reboot for the series. They have loved this series. They seem to be desperate to make it into something, and it the last time they rebooted it was about 10 years ago with The Rock in a movie, and now they're going to be apparently looking to turn it into a television series. It's had about 4 sequels, the original one back from like the 60s. Again, very much in the rumored territory at the minute. It wouldn't surprise me if Disney did try and do this. They seem to be loving that idea.
I mean, it is the time of reboots. We were literally just talking about the Waverly Place. Yeah. So, and this seems to be something they're drawing on with Disney Plus is, we'll give some original content in the form of like The Mandalorian and a couple of new shows, but they know that name recognition counts for a lot. And I mean, that's been driving not just Disney Plus, but Disney in general. Whether or not that's been a good thing is up for debate or not, but yeah, it's definitely part of their strategy at the moment.
And I think it's a key part of the strategy for the streaming service, because when you've got like Apple TV Plus and Netflix and Amazon going, here's all this shiny new stuff, you don't know what it is. Whereas Disney going, hey, here's something that you already know what it. And it's like instantly, if you've got 10 shows in a scissor reel and you recognize most of them, it's going to be a draw. It's going to be that thing of that's going to they are going for the idea that they have this library, Apple TV Plus doesn't, and therefore that is going to be a key selling point. They can throw in the original stuff. For example, like Diary of a Female President is set to begin shooting this summer from June till September. That's a brand new original series. They're going to throw that in there, but I think just off the bat that they're going to want to use these franchises to kind of kick them off. Keeping on with the franchises, apparently The Simpsons, this has been coming up because the woman that plays the voice of Lisa, she was talking over the weekend, Yardley Smith, and she said that with Disney now owning Fox, she said that if Disney tried to change too much about how they make the show, she said the creators probably would cancel the show rather than let Disney like water it down. And I'm sitting there going, really, water it down? It's The Simpsons? I didn't really realize it was that edgy to begin with. That it's on at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's not exactly like that cutting edge. It probably was 30 years ago, but maybe not so much now.
Oh yeah, it absolutely was when it launched. And it was considered very edgy when it launched. But since then, we've had Family Guy, South Park, heck, even stuff like Bob's Burger and Futurama was more edgy than The Simpsons has ever been. Yeah. So it's a different environment. And yeah, but I do agree with the basic sentiment is that Disney shouldn't change the show. They shouldn't try to apply a Disney formula to it or try to, I don't know, suddenly they're visiting Disney World, every other episode or something like that. And I think Disney knows that. When you buy a major franchise, if you're smart, you don't go start changing it. It's popular for a reason. So I don't know. I feel like she's just kind of saying that preemptively. Yeah. Maybe she knows some background or behind door politics that's going on, but yeah, you don't buy The Simpsons, you don't buy Family Guy, heck, you don't buy the rights back for Deadpool, and then turn around and make them completely different movies. I mean, I know that was the big concern a lot of people had with Deadpool was, like, it's going to be Disney, it's going to be PG, or at most PG-13, there's not going to be any of the swearing and the meta references and all this stuff. And the same reason that I don't think they're going to change Deadpool, They're not going to change The Simpsons. Yeah. They're not going to change Family Guy. None of these franchises that they're picking up from Fox that don't immediately scream Disney to you will be modified in any way, shape, or... Well, I don't want to say any way, because there might be very subtle changes, but like a huge overarching... The Simpsons now have another dog character named Poochie, who is on the show every other week, and he's hip and he's cool. And yeah, they're not going to do that. So.
Now, I think the trouble is, I think this is kind of fear. It's like they brought 21st Century Fox to kind of go back into doing this kind of stuff. That was the point of it. It wasn't really a case of like Disney-fying Fox, I don't think. But there was another interesting note that Yardley Swift said to the Hollywood Reporter. She said, when you are building a silo, you need content. And that, even though we have over 700 episodes, when we have a marathon, you can devour that in 14 days. Dude, you better keep making those episodes. I think for us, it's very good in the long run as writers and executives to still want to keep making the show. I'm optimistic. The key thing there was making this thing about the silo being a streaming service, Hulu, Disney+. 700 episodes is a massive library. And I am fully expecting Disney Plus to utilize this, whether or not it comes year one or later down the line. But I think there's just been obviously from their point, there's been a lot of stories about The Simpsons being one of the key purchases from the 21st Century Fox. I think they're just worried about things changing and how things are going on. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the animation, even just literally just before we started recording. Deadline has reported that FXX has sorted out some of their rights to like American just like things like Bob's Burgers and Family Guy, because Family Guy is now even going to be running on Freeform from like season 16 now. So the synergy is already starting to kick place of shows, but they're sorting out existing contracts, working out what's going on. But Family Guy is already moving on to Disney's channels. A lot of people are expecting in 2 to 3 years that Simpsons will move over to ABC as well. You know, we're already seeing the change.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is the kind of change we're expecting. We're expecting stuff to come under the branding. They're going to bring stuff so that it's, you know, more available, because they want to take these shows that already have an audience and bring them over to the channels that they control and bring that audience with them. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're watching The Simpsons and you get an advert for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC and like, ooh, I'd forgotten that show existed because I watched it the first season and the first season wasn't all that great. But now here it is. And it's on for, it's like, what, seventh season now? Well, let's give it another shot. And that's what Disney's hoping for.
I mean, I do think as of right now, everything's kind of staying quite similar. But in the years to come, they will reshuffle shows around, reshuffle the channels, see how the streaming things. But yeah, lots of bits and pieces coming out really from like the television side. The things that really the guy that post-purchase sort out is all going to start kicking in. And it's going to take a while. And part of that big shift and change up was really kind of announcing the movie differences. Because they were at CinemaCon this past week and they were showing off all their new lineup. And this was an event aimed at cinemas, people that run the cinemas, and showing them what they're doing, and they're still very, very committed to releasing movies at the cinema. They talked a little bit about streaming and Netflix and stuff, but generally, Disney are 100% in on the cinema. They ain't going anywhere. You know, the money that they're taking at the box office is still a key point of them. While everybody else might be shifting around, Disney aren't. They might be moving all their stuff around at the back end, but they're still carrying on with the cinema. And there was a thing of like showing off what they were doing at the event. This just shows off their lineup for what's coming up in 2019, now that they have purchased 21st Century Fox. Let's just say that's a big lineup for 2019. So I'm going to run through the movies in a minute. But yeah, the first impressions off that list, James. Well, yeah.
Did I lose you for a second there? Yeah, I think I did. No. Oh, there we go. first impressions, I mean, it's a stacked lineup. Sure, there are some titles on there. Like, I don't know what Breakthrough is. I don't know what Ford versus Ferrari. Sorry, Ford v Ferrari. We're doing the Batman v Superman thing. The Woman in the Window, stuff like that. But you know, you're putting these in between Avengers Endgame, Aladdin, The Lion King, Maleficent sequel, Star Wars Episode 9, two X-Men movies, surprisingly, Toy Story 4, you know, all this stuff. And you're just like, even if half of these titles are flops, or even if three quarters of these titles are flops, there's enough strength in some of the franchise movies here. Avengers Endgame, Star Wars Episode 9 being the most notable ones. Frozen 2, of course. Those three titles alone could carry Disney this entire year.
I mean, I was going to say, this is the big thing. I mean, a lot of people are talking about how basically now Disney Studios, they have a massive part of the box office year. Now, this is pretty much nearly half of the year's movies being released on this lineup alone. They have got such power at the box office, and this is where the streaming network kicks in when it comes past this. Because just reading this off for the audio listeners, we have got Captain Marvel, Dumbo, Breakthrough, which has just come out this weekend, which is a drama series. You've got Avengers Endgame. You've got Disney Nature Penguins, Tolkien, Aladdin, X-Men Dark Phoenix, Ad Astra, don't know what that one is, Stuber, the trailer for that just broke this past weekend, stars Batista, the WWE wrestler, and it kind of, it's basically an Uber driver, and that looks, it looked quite funny. You got Toy Story 4, you got The Lion King, X-Men New Mutants, the fact that this was on there after all this stipulation, whether or not they were going to get it released, shows that they are releasing it at the cinema. Artemis Fowl from Disney. Got Racing of the Rain, I think it is. I can't quite read exactly what it is. Spies in Disguise, which is the new Blue Sky Studios animated one starring Tom Holland and Will Smith as penguin, as agents that turn into pigeons. Woman in the Window.
Do they both turn into pigeons?
I think so, yeah.
I'm not sure. I know we've seen the trailer, and I think just Will Smith got turned into a pigeon, but that doesn't mean we've seen everything, so whatever.
We've got Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, which is Maleficent 2. Frozen 2, Ford versus Ferrari, which apparently from the feedback from the people that saw some clips of this, that one apparently is a very good movie. I think it's Matt Damon's in it. And then you got Star Wars Episode 9, and then an animated movie called Call of the Wild, which has Harrison Ford doing the voice for it. So it's a very mixed, we are getting lots of different movies. And this is where the 21st Century Fox movies kind of add in some variety. Suddenly that doesn't look such a franchise overload as it did before. Suddenly got something new in there. You've got something exciting and different in there, which is what I like. You know, I'm liking the fact that we've got a few weird things in there that are different and new rather than just the same old like reboots and sequels.
Right. I mean, that's the biggest complaint that I've certainly had is, you know, Aladdin, Lion King, Dumbo, several others down the road. And like, do we need these to exist? I'm not sure. And while there is certainly a lot of buzz around, say, The Lion King, we know Dumbo didn't do particularly well in the box office, at least so far. The buzz around Aladdin is largely negative. So, yes, as I said earlier, we've got Avengers Endgame, we've got Star Wars Episode 9, we've got Frozen 2, and those three alone are going to do crazy things. And then you had Toy Story 4 on top of that, of course. But yes, the Fox editions, Spies in Disguise, New Mutants, Ford v Ferrari, etc., they really do add variety to this, and they add just some extra padding where you kind of lose that, oh, there's nothing but franchise and reboots in here. No, now there's other stuff in there. So
yeah. And also that, you know, they are looking at, they want to have some cheaper movies, things like that, Stuber, things like that, which can boost up their networks, can boost up what they're doing. They want to be going for the Oscar stuff. They're still very hungry for those that kind of audience. They are going to be producing different stuff. The only interesting thing really from the Disney Plus point of view is we know all the Disney side is coming to Disney Plus. The Fox side is a little bit more tricky because there is an existing deal with HBO which some of their movies go there first till that deal expires in 2022. Sounds a long way away. It's actually only, you know, two, three years now, so it's not so bad. Whether or not things, I don't know whether or not, like, the Blue Sky Studios, if they come out of the Fox banner, are they included in it? Do you know, there's that kind of thing of they can shift a movie out of a country by shifting it and go, well, it's actually no longer a Fox movie, it's a Blue Sky Studios, and you don't have to act. I can see them doing something like that and going, like, if there's something in that contract which states that it has to be released by 20th Century Fox and suddenly it's not, that could be a way to get around it. But these movies might not eventually come. It might take like 18 months, a bit like the Netflix deal, for things to start creeping over. But there are some movies there, like, that, you know, if they're under a PG-13, that makes them that they could come to Disney Plus. And they didn't buy this stuff just to put everything away on Hulu and, you know, just leave things out of the way. They want to make money off this.
Oh, of course. I mean, everything they do is to make money off of this, and everything they do is to get everything under the Disney brand as much as possible. I mean, yeah, everything is Disney at this point. So, yeah, there will probably be a couple of contracts that they can't wiggle out from. I haven't read the contracts, and even if I did, I probably wouldn't understand half of them anyway. I'm not a lawyer. So there is that, but any that they can wiggle out of, they absolutely will. And while I'm not a lawyer, we all know Disney has, for better or worse, some of the best lawyers on the planet. So if there are loopholes, they will find them.
But also there's that thing as well of, like, you look at, like, what that lineup is. So if you take half of them away, all the Fox ones away, that they can't come this next year. All the Disney ones are coming nearly every 3 to 4 weeks, right? They're then getting the old ones that are expiring with contracts so they can spread them into it. You know, say, like, we say, I'm trying to think of one that's Beauty and the Beast has just left Netflix the last week. That one there suddenly drops in on a week. And then you're going to get some of the Fox ones expiring on HBO. They're going to have this constant drip feed of new movies, probably coming nearly every week to every 2 weeks, because they're going to be able to have those old ones to come in. You know, if you looked at that lineup and was like, okay, say a quarter of those movies from Fox aren't family friendly, so they're not coming. But you could, that's quite a lineup, say in 2023, when you got that many movies coming out, and there, and then you got the Disney Channel stuff, you're going to be having new content dropping on that one there pretty much, I'm going to say, nearly weekly.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that, but that is true. Whether they want it that way or not is another matter, but yes, it does mean if stuff's under contract, then it creates an artificial release calendar that spreads things out.
Yeah. So, I mean, things like Mary Poppins Returns, Incredibles 2, Solo, all of these things are all going to be dropping in on Disney Plus next year. And it's going to give that kind of secondary buzz to it because, oh, now Mary Poppins Returns is on it. But you're not going to feel like, oh, that's dated, because suddenly they're going to have like Aladdin and Captain Marvel drop in before that. So, yeah, it's just going to be a little bit of a mess. But as things expire, by the time it gets around to it, we still got, I think, Wreck-It Ralph 2 and Mary Poppins Returns and The Nutcracker to drop onto Netflix as part of the they're the last movies to go onto Netflix under their existing deal. So it's going to be 18 months plus before we, nearly 2 years by the time we see them on Disney Plus. But by then, it'll be a secondary wave. It's just, this is the thing with contracts. At least they have got an expiry date, unlike the Universal problem in Orlando.
Yeah, or the pre-Fox merger deal with the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Well, there was an expiration date, but the expiration date was dependent on when the last movie in that franchise was made, and Fox just kept making movies, so that date kept moving forward. So, yeah.
But during the events, they did say they are making more Alien, they're making more Planet of the Apes. I think, yeah, they've been talking about the Die Hard, like, prequel or whatever it is. There's all of that. They're carrying on with all those franchises. I'm not surprised in the slightest to see what they're doing, all that. But CinemaCon, lots of information coming out of it, really just showing off that light. A lot of people, the scissor reels that they were showing beforehand, integrating Fox movies with Disney, and a lot of people sort of going, oh, you know, really seeing when it was in a scissor reel of all together, of going, yeah, that's a lot of stuff. And even having them all coming on, this was their first big event, really, all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a sizzle reel anymore. It's just like I don't even know what term you would use for it, but just the sheer number of titles coming up is crazy. So,
Right. So that's kind of finishes off all the news from the week. I wasn't really expecting a lot, but there was a little bit more than I was expecting. But the big news really is coming on Thursday. They got the Investors Day event taking place in California. And at this event, they are going to be basically showing off Disney Plus, and they're also going to be showing off they said their consumer, direct to consumer. So I think they're going to be probably throwing in some stuff with ESPN Plus and Hulu. And the main aim of this investor event is about its consumer products. They did one about 3 years ago for ESPN. The last 2 years they were doing it was like a thing about startups and stuff. This year it's pretty much all about consumer praise. Happening on Thursday, it is going to be webcast on the official Walt Disney Company website. It looks like it could be nearly a 3 hour long event. I was not expecting this when I thought it might be, you know, we might see an hour of it, but no, they are literally saying, you know, it could be a 3 hour event. So for me, it starts about 10 o'clock in the evening. And so it's going to be a late night for me till probably 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to be very, very busy putting up stories up on the website, running through. I'll be doing a live blog, doing up different stories throughout the event, kind of showing off all the information. Just a quick note as well, we're going to be recording the episode a little bit earlier. I'm going to be putting up that podcast episode earlier next week, so it'll be over the weekend once we record it, rather than holding on to it, because it's going to be, I'm expecting some big news out of it. But expecting is the key thing here. So we're going to run through our predictions for what we think is going to be announced. So I'm going to throw this one straight over to James first. What is your number one prediction?
It's not really an announcement per se, but we'll get like a standardization of what to expect from the post-Endgame Marvel lineup. Now, we already have a general idea of the next several years worth of titles announced, Black Panther 2, Spider-Man, etc. But
yes, I'm going to just jump in on that one, because I think Kevin Feige or whatever it is, I said that they're not going to be saying anything until...
Okay. Well, then that prediction says screwed.
Far From Home, I think because of Endgame, they are playing the... They don't want to ruin anything, and they're not... Because nothing is announced post Far From Home. So I don't know if we're going to see anything from the Marvel side, because they've been... I'd like it, but I think they might hold on to that one.
Well, let me adapt that then slightly. We might start seeing the plans for X movies, the X-Men franchise, even if it's just like, say, a Deadpool sequel or something like that, because they can still say if they want that the X-Men are off in their own universe and not part of the MCU. And also, even if they do integrate them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the X-Men aren't part of the Avengers saga, especially after the Thanos stuff. So maybe we'll get a bit on X plans.
Yeah. So my first prediction is going to be price. Pretty simple, really. We're going to get a definite price for what it's going to launch in the US. We're going to have the price point. We know it's supposed to be cheaper than Netflix. They're going to get that price point out there. That's going to be one of the key aspects coming out of this event, really. And your next prediction?
Would probably be an exact date.
Yes.
I mean, that's the obvious follow-on to the price. And it would probably be together. We will launch Disney Plus on blank date for X price.
Yeah.
To kind of modify the price one just a little bit, I think there will be multi-tier on the price, a monthly price or a pay upfront annual price kind of deal, and we'll probably see both of those, assuming they go that route.
Yeah, I mean, saying on the price fronts, I'm not sure. They'll probably be just a monthly fee. Whether or not they do like an annual deal that's a bit cheaper, I wouldn't. And I'm also expecting they will announce bundling prices with ESPN Plus and Hulu, and I think you're going to see bundling between the three of them, because they're going to start pushing that a lot more. And I think within all three of those apps, you're going to start seeing promotional stuff for each one to kind of as their vision of what they're doing. Keeping with launch dates, I think you're going to get the US launch date. I'm predicting October. That's kind of what I'm thinking. What about you?
October. I'm going to say September, probably mid-September. I think we're in basically the same area, though. It's going to be pre-Christmas, obviously. I mean, Christmas would be pushing it anyway. But you want to get it into consumers' hands before the major family holidays start. And in the States, that means Thanksgiving. And then, yeah. And even having it before Halloween, like appreciably before Halloween. So hopefully they can get any launch bugs out of the way so that you can have people, you know, turning on Disney Plus and going, oh, there's Hocus Pocus or The Nightmare Before Christmas right there, ready to go on Disney Plus. That is a useful selling point.
There's also that part of me as well as wondering, will they pull the trigger early and go like August, July, August, and be like, because they said late. So late kind of is very vague. They could pull it early if they're thinking, well, we can make some more money out of this quickly. And, you know, I don't know. It's very, very open to what they're going to be doing with the pricing. I also suspect they might give us a little bit more information about the international announcement. Be a little bit more like, we are planning to launch in these regions in this year or in this window. It might give us like, we will launch in Europe in early 2020. We will launch in Australia late 20. We might get, because this is aimed at investors. So they're going to want to see that international growth. We know it's not coming in 2019, but yeah, I think they should be there. I mean, personally, I'd love for them to be a little bit more along the lines of what they're doing with Disney Life, but I don't know. I'm not expecting any information about if they're going to do that. But I think they need to be very open about international, because international is a key growth point. And while this might be focused on US, they're going to want to get that information about Canada, Mexico, because apparently, you know, they've been down in Latin America building up stuff right this past weekend at a special event down there for animators. This is set to be a global brand, so they might, yeah, I think they're gonna, I wouldn't expect more than a year delay for anywhere else. It's got to be launched within 6 months to a year, I would imagine, from when they announce it.
Yeah, I agree. They can't afford to not have it come out while people still remember the announcement.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if it starts like rolling out throughout next of 2020. So it'll be like Europe, then Latin America, and just kind of keep rolling out from there. So I'm expecting international rollouts to be announced with like rough like launch windows, because they're going to be asked these questions by investors. They know that it's international. So I'm expecting that there. Any other predictions?
I'm actually going to add on to that a little bit. For the international, while they'll probably give some rough ideas on dates, they will have to have an answer ready for how currency standardization is going to go. I know that's thrilling stuff to be talking about, but it is important because, you know, the price might be one thing in America, and we've seen, especially with video games, I know this isn't a video game podcast, but you know, that's a background both of us have. A lot of companies will go, oh, 60 US dollars. Well, we'll just put a pound sign in front of that and make that 60 pounds. And it's like, yeah, 60 pounds is not the same as $60. Not even close at the moment, actually.
We get that a lot. A lot of times products, which they literally will just flip the icon from pound to euro to dollar. And you're like, there's a big difference between it. And sometimes a product, I see it all the time on the Disney shop, where you see this, where you're like, crikey. It's like, sometimes it works out for our favor, sometimes it doesn't. And you're like, yeah, there is some big differences. So they're going to need to do that. We also have different ideas, obviously, here in England and in Europe. We don't do tax after purchase. Our prices include the tax, because we have a more simple system. It's $5.99. You paid them $5.99. That's it. You know, it's not $5.99 plus tax. It's $5.99 including tax. So that sometimes can make a difference. So just to run through there, the event is taking place from 5 o'clock ET, 2 o'clock Pacific time, and will conclude by 8:30 EST or 5:30 PT. That means that this is a 3.5 hour presentation for investors for their consumer products. There's going to be a lot of slides. There's going to be lots of data, lots of lots of information coming out of this. I know when the ESPN stuff comes on, that's my time to pop to the loo.
Yeah, or, you know, just pause it because we all have DVRs now. But yeah, 3.5 hours. The problem I have with a 3.5 hour isn't necessarily the length. It's that it feels like whenever you get past a certain point that it's padding. And I know I joked to you, I was like, well, never underestimate an executive's ability to take a 1 minute announcement and turn it into an hour. And that's kind of what I'm worried about here. And I realize they do have a lot of things to announce, not just Disney Plus, but just, I mean, Disney's a huge company. Even before the merger, they have tons of things to talk about, but yeah, I have a hard time believing that 3.5 hour doesn't include a significant amount of padding in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering as well if they're going to be shown some trailers. I'm expecting that they will be shown some bits and pieces to the investors. That might just go out to the people that are at the event. And usually what happens on like webcasts and like conference calls is we end up with some generic Disney music while they watch it. So it's great. So they have a 20-minute preview of Toy Story 3 and we're just listening to It's a Small World. There is so, but I'm expecting some trailers maybe to drop over that weekend. I'm expecting The Mandalorian at Star Wars Celebration anyway, but expect to see some trailers. They might just go out for then standardized YouTube channels and stuff like that. I'm also expecting, you know, proper announcements, some sizzle reel, the website to be updated. You know, they're going to launch this as their PR launch campaign for this product, in the same way that they might not necessarily want everyone tuning in to watch the live feed like Apple did, but they're still going to want to get those key points out there with a, you know, a quick like 2-minute, 1-minute trailer, launch the social medias, because they haven't even launched like Facebook or Twitter or YouTube channel. Nothing of this is launched yet. And so therefore I'm expecting this to be like the big kickoff launch point of all of this.
Yeah. Like you said, there's a number of things that they're going to be holding back because there's events right around the corner that are more appropriate, Star Wars being the obvious one. But yeah, they're going to want to treat this not just as an investor event, but as a commercial event as well. And I think that's a shift that Wall Street has seen happen in the last couple of years, primarily because of Apple, Microsoft, Sony to a lesser degree. But Disney understands the market and they're going to want to include trailers. And that will also make it more interesting for people like for non-investors or people who only invest a little. They own like one share just because like, hey, I own Disney stock or whatever, like something like that. And it keeps people engaged. Plus it breaks up the monotony. These executive talks are really boring. Yeah, so
I mean, the key thing here is like all the key aspects are all going to then be spread around the globe, as you know, by all the media. That's what, you know, that's the thing. But the key points are going to be broken down for you, so you don't have to sit through this massive thing. Because I know when I listen to the conference calls and the earnings calls every quarter that I sit down and listen to, they like patting themselves on the back. They like telling everybody, they like telling people what they've done. They like telling people the stability. They're trying to sell to people the stock and trying to make money. So it is aimed at a different audience. This isn't aimed at the casual market. This event isn't. The information that comes out of it will be extracted and then be shared onto the open market so everyone understands what's going on. But the actual event itself is not aimed at mass market. Because I think that was the thing with that Apple event. They did that out there, put it up on the YouTube channel, and we're promoting it to be a must sit down, watch an event, in the same way of like GDC, the video game stuff. They do these events the Stadia, the new Google streaming event that took place a couple of weeks ago. There's that thing of who are they marketing these events at? Are they at the developers and the executives and the investors, or are they going after the mass public? And they are very two different presentations. And I think Disney are probably right. In Investors Day, they are pushing it through the investor channels, not pushing it out on Disney's YouTube channel. Because, yeah, little Timmy sits down there and watches a 3-hour presentation of a man showing him through PowerPoint presentation isn't really what they want to be doing.
Honestly, it's not even what little Timmy's parents want to be doing either, unless they're big-time investors. So,
yeah. So no, it's going to be interesting. I'm also I'm expecting during this here as well that we get a much clearer idea of what's going on with content in terms of, we know the brands that are going in on it, but I think we're going to start seeing a better idea of what's happening with the Fox stuff and a much clearer way of what shows are coming. You know, like, okay, Disney Channel is in, Fox Freeform is in, ABC is out. You know, we're going to see a little bit more, or it might be these shows from ABCs are in, but these shows from ABCs aren't. They're going to Hulu. We're going to see a lot more clarification in where these shows are going to be coming in and out of, because yeah, those are key aspects. They can't, and they're going to want to push that. Are they going to talk about the streaming, their other streaming platforms that they've got? Are they about what their plans are for them? That might, I'm not expecting anything negative or things about closing down or shutting down. I think they're going to want to keep very upbeat, but you know, you got to think like the Freeform website where you can stream stuff with Hulu and Disney Plus, they're not going to want to offer a free version of it.
No, probably not up front anyway, maybe eventually. But I think in terms of the other streaming services, they're probably just going to pop out and go, nope, business as usual. We've got nothing really to announce about them, but that includes nothing about canceling them or merging them or anything like that. At most, they will announce a package deal like you talked about earlier, where you can get Disney Plus and ESPN for slightly less than if you buy both of them or you're paying for them individually.
I mean, things like Disney Now and all of this kind of stuff, you know, there probably will be questions from investors and whether or not they just bat them straight out back and go, we'll deal with that later, or if they're open about it. I don't imagine they're going to want any backlash of going, oh yeah, Disney Now is closing down, because they won't want that. They don't want the negativity of that. They will just want the positivity going forward. So I'm not expecting anything along those lines. They might do, because it's investors, to go, oh yeah, we'll be integrating them all into it. You know, you can see that happening. But yeah, I'm just hoping, to be honest, for a little bit of clarity of where those shows are going. You know, I mean, if we see what they're going to be doing with Fox as well, that's a major aspect that we've not really seen, of how they're going to be using the items. You know, will we see things like Greatest Showman and Ice Age and things like that moved over? Will we see The Simpsons, Family Guy? These are all questions that they're going to be asked by investors.
Right. And I think what they're going to do with Fox is probably the biggest item on the list. I mean, it's not going to be a full comprehensive step-by-step, we're going to take the Die Hard franchise and do this. We're going to take The Simpsons and do that. But they will have a basic roadmap that they can share, and then specific details on maybe the most high ticket items, which would probably include the X-Men, to bring it back into the Marvel sphere, simply because the X-Men plans right now are just the two that we know about that are coming out later this year. And there is a lot of, not concern, but like attention being paid to what will happen to the X-Men. Will they be brought into the MCU? Will Deadpool continue in the current format, and so on and so forth? So I think that would be like an actual bullet point. But stuff like Die Hard, even Aliens, Predators, stuff like that will be more like, yeah, they're still coming. We don't have anything to announce, but we're totally working with them.
I mean, I think like the whole concept of this being direct to consumer, they're going to want to push, they're going to also maybe push Hulu as well a bit more, of showing what they're doing with that, what's coming down the line for them. And I think as a whole, there's that kind of thing of, from the consumer point of view, you're not going to want, well, The Simpsons are on this, and then they're on that, and then they're on this. They kind of want to keep things contained. But I still think with Hulu, the big problem with that is the 40% of the company they don't own. And that is going to be the key driver of the fact that they want to push Hulu. They don't have full control over it. And Disney Plus, they have full control over it. And I still think that's going to be an issue. And I think this whole thing of Hulu offering all these live services and of streaming and offering adverts inside and cheap, I wouldn't be at all surprised as well if Disney Plus becomes a section within Hulu as well. Similar to, like, I think HBO and Stars and stuff are within, you can access that content within Hulu. Is that right?
I can't speak to Hulu. I know you can do it in Amazon Prime, though. You can link up your HBO and Amazon Prime and watch your Game of Thrones, Deadwood, whatever. So
yeah, I'm fully expecting that kind of things. On another thing, is really with that concept, you know, maybe confirming that they'll be on Apple TV, Amazon, you know, you'll be able to access through that. Devices, I'm expecting kind of, you know, key point of, you know, Android, iOS, and then games consoles and smart TVs, etc. I think we're going to see that that basic information of what devices are this, is will the app be on? Because they've got to get this information out. They need to get these key aspects out to it. And yeah, those kind of will be basic bits and pieces.
Yeah, and they've got plenty of time to do it in too. So
I'm very disappointed if when we record the next episode, what did I tell you? Well, in 3 hours, we still just been told it's late 2019 and everything's coming to it. And they just sat there. It's like, I don't know. This is their big thing. They've been talking about this on the last 3 conference calls that they've done about that they were announcing all the details at this event. You know, there was an article on Variety just before we started recording about what, you know, the big websites are putting up the things we were expecting from this event. It's like, you know, everyone, you know, everyone's this thing of these streaming wars of what's going on with all these different, you know, with Warner Brothers, Comcast, Apple TV. Everyone's getting their information out there. And Disney, we've, you know, this coming in late 2019, we've been battering around now since 2017? And yeah, it's getting to that point now where that can't, you know, if every time I put up a story, the first question is, how much is it? When's it coming out? And it's like, I'm so, let's just say that will be going into an automated response because that's the main question. And people are going to need to know that. And once it's out there, it'll be different. But Netflix and everyone else, they're all battering for competition. And yeah, they might not want to share too much, but they need to share the information now because consumers to let them know.
Yeah, and consumers do need to know because price is ultimately the most important thing. And yeah, I don't doubt that, like, within 10 seconds of posting an article, the first question is, what's it cost? When's it coming? I remember Disney Infinity. I remember what the articles like that looked like in terms of the comments. And and Disney has to be getting, if we're getting asked that question, you know, X number of times a day, Disney is getting that question X times X times X per day. You know, it's they know that this is what people want to know. And if we come out of this call without knowing the price or the date, the stock's going to drop. But yeah. I'm not expecting that. They're going to announce it.
The only other thing is whether or not they sit there and go, Disney Plus is available now on every device. That would be great. That would be very impressive. It wouldn't surprise. It's that kind of thing of if they want to make a bam, that could be it. But whether or not they're ready for that, I don't know. But it would certainly be because essentially they could do that. It would certainly take a big hit. But BAMTech, it's not as if this is their first rodeo. They have been building this stuff for years. I don't know. It could be. I'm not expecting it, but you know, we didn't get that. You know, you do get that a lot now. You know, they'll just be like, yeah, it's coming out. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it. I would love to see it D23 weekend, but yeah, again, they're going to be busy and stuff. But there's no reason in some ways that this can't come a lot earlier, but it could be later. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't think that it will drop on the investor call, but that would be amazing if it did. I would definitely be like, I'm downloading this and I'm trying it. And I would probably end up watching like a ton of Disney classic movies right there.
It's that thing of it is literally, you know, you got to look at it this other way. If it is literally just an app that they have to put out on all the platforms. But I'd imagine if they were doing that, you know, something would have leaked out. They're much more likely to be like, have a rollout, get the things on the app, get them available and stuff and roll it out slowly. But who knows? But we'll find out later this week. We've only got literally for us now, like 2 days from the time of recording till we know. So we will be back this weekend with an earlier episode. So next week's episode will be a little bit earlier because, well, we just know it's going to be a big week. And then, yeah, lots of information. It's going to be a big week coming up for Disney Plus. So again, big thank you for everyone for joining us on this episode. Make sure you go check us out over at whatsondisneyplus.com. Like, favorite, bookmarked, whatever you need to do on that one, so you keep coming back. And you can do the same on social media and on audio platforms, etc. It's all continuing to grow, which is fantastic. James, where can they find you?
You find me heroiclegacy.com.
All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.